Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of season 10 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off the week is Jay Cluett of Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Rob. I'm just trying to work out. I feel like this should be the season where a third of the way through, I try and hijack the podcast. I don't know how that would work, but I feel like I should try and between me and your other guests are going to get together. We're going to try and take over this show this season. I think I'm not sure how we're going to do it. We'll figure out a way.
I wish you good luck with it. you can try. Might work.
We'll try. Yeah. Let's see. All right. our survival rating is better than. The people who do the hijacking in this film.
Maybe. So episode 5 begins with the cab door moving with the train up and down, and ends with a woman doing a crossword puzzle. So we finished things yesterday with Mr. Green giving a little scan of everything going on in the car, trying to figure out what he needs to do. Or as you mentioned, maybe, you know, who's going to cause problems along the way? Who knows? And today we now get to see inside the cab, and we see the conductor of the train. Do you know who plays the conductor?
I didn't look it up, actually. No, I don't.
Ooh. Well, his name is going to be very familiar to you. His name is James Broderick.
Ah, father of Matthew?
Yes. That's right.
Sure, okay.
Right. He was born in 1927, passed away in 1982, and he has 71 credits as an actor. And in this movie, he plays Denny Doyle.
I've just scrolled down the list of people who are in this film, and down near the bottom of the credits there is an actor called Jim Pelham. There's a Pelham in this film.
Wow.
plays police sergeant. No, sorry, subway guard. Look forward to seeing him at some point. Please continue with Mr. Broderick. Wow.
Subway guard. That's amazing. I never even I didn't go that far down. Wow.
Yeah, there we go.
So basically, you know, this is Matthew Broderick's father, James Broderick, and you know, in most of the. Looking at his filmography, he doesn't look as if he's really been much of a lead actor in movies. I mean, in TV shows, he was. You know, he was the father in Family, and he was a police officer named Ernie Brenner in Brenner. You know, things like that. But when it comes to movies, I don't really see it, which is interesting. Obviously, this movie came out before he became really popular with Family, because Family came out in 76. So maybe that's what really catapulted him to being more familiar, I guess, along the way. Don't know.
Yeah. Well, he's not someone I recognize. I've never heard of the show Family.
Okay.
I have nothing to say about this guy. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. And then we see that the the camera scans up to the outside of the train, and we see that it's the number 6 train, and it says Lex Pelham. As we know, it's Lexington and it starts in Pelham Park Bay. And we see also on the other side, we can sort of see that it's saying Brooklyn, because it's going all the way down to the Brooklyn Bridge. And then the train, you know, flies by, and then we're back in the section in the back with Bud and Mr. Matson, and Matson says, "Now you take my advice, kid. You serve your 6 months, and then you put in for the Motorman." And then he looks out and he goes, "Watch it, we're coming in." And he go, then Bud announces 59th Street, and he goes, "No, it ain't." And he goes, 51st Street. Sorry.
The space right, he says 50 Foist Street, I think you'll find. 50 Foist Street.
Okay. Sorry. He goes, "The station is 51st Street. And then Mr. Matson goes, "Never say you're sorry, kid." He goes, "Someone may come back here and hit you in the damn nose."
I'm just a truly New York response. "Never apologize. I might punch you in the face."
Well, again, it could be, you know, it is a problem if you tell them the wrong state. If you're on a train and you don't know where you're supposed to be, you don't know where you are, but you know you have to get off 51st Street, and they say 59th, you're like, "Oh, okay, I'll get another stop," or vice versa. You know,
I get that being told the wrong station is not great, but the Mr. Matson's like, don't apologize, someone might punch you in the nose.
Right.
Like, you got to say the right station. Otherwise, someone might punch you in the nose. He's like, "Don't apologize. They might punch you." This doesn't quite add up, for sure.
True. And then we see the outside of the train. We see another man dressed very similarly to Mr. Green standing on the platform.
Quite the coincidence.
Yes. Completely. And he's got a huge suitcase there. Mm. It's not even a suitcase. It's a briefcase. It's like a, you know, looks like a briefcase because it looks like it has the snaps, you know, that you can snap it open that way.
Yes.
And he then puts on his glasses and looks around and gets on the train.
Yeah. And then he gets Hector Elizondo in a rare scumbag role.
That's correct.
I know him as being like a kindly mentor figure to the likes of Julia Roberts or Anne Hathaway,
or Axel Foley.
I'm not big on the Beverly Hills Cop.
No, he's in the third Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay. I never saw the third one, but I know him from his work with Gary Marshall and little else.
That's right. In every single Gary Marshall movie.
And he, of course, is Jim Gordon in the Lego Batman movie. Of course. Yes. The best Batman film.
Right. Now, I love that we get his viewpoint and we see, more of the passengers from the back. So we see, from the opposite direction of where Mr. Green is sitting.
Yeah.
And he stands by the door. And puts his briefcase right down exactly next to the door.
Yeah, it's almost like an easel case, like a painter's suitcase kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. And then we hear Bud say, "Grand Central Station, next stop." And then the camera shows him, and we see, "Next stop, Grand Central."
Yeah. So, he just told us. What are you showing us? We know.
And Mr. Matson then leaves the cab, and the two of them are continuing talking. He goes, "If I was you, I'd start studying for that motorman exam right now." He goes, "Tell you the truth, Mr. Matson, I have been. Want to hear some?" He goes, "Every car in the IRT is 72 feet long, costs $150, $150,000, and weighs 75,000 pounds.
That's how I knew the length of the car from yesterday. I didn't look it up. I just thought, oh, he said it. Great.
I like the way that they just give us this little bit of information along the way about the whole thing. It's very cool.
Oh, that's why they're concerned about the hijacking, because the train cars are $150,000 each.
That's right.
Not the passengers.
It's true.
It's 18 votes.
And then we get to see we get to see the viewpoint of Mr. Gray as he's looking at the jeans and legs and boots of
one. Sure, yes. You said we see more of the passengers. We see specific more of the passages.
Yes. Like,
the bit that he's interested in.
Exactly. And we see that she's working on a crossword puzzle.
Sure. And this is very much the hooker in the credits, Mary Gorman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what I found very interesting is, you know, they talk about the Motorman exam and stuff like that. So I decided to look up what exactly you need in order to do a Motorman exam. And the first thing that shocked me when I was looking this up is I found out that the Motorman exam is actually only given at every 4 to 6 years. And there are thousands of people who register each time, and you know, once you pass that test, you can be a motorman, you know, for life, type of thing. It's a one-time thing.
Okay, sure.
Very, very interesting the way that they have that there, and you don't really need much in order to put forth to go do the test. You know, you have to have a valid driver's license. You have to have some sort of either a four-year high school diploma or like a GED or something like that. And you have to have worked at least 1 year with the same employer. That's it. Okay. There's the only thing. Obviously, you need to pass the test and answer all the questions. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't know all the questions that he just told us that he knows.
So Mr. Matson tells him to do it, put in his 6 months and then apply for the exams. Maybe it takes 6 months for the application to be processed if you need to work for a year.
Okay, but also it could be that in 1974 or something that it was different. You know, it didn't work.
Yes, true, true. And if they do the test every 4 to 6 years, assuming they did the same thing then it could be like, okay, do your 6 months, then apply for the test, because the test is like next year. And if you miss that, you got to wait until like 1979 for the next one.
Exactly. Yeah. Apparently you need to get a 70 in order to pass the exam.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting that they mentioned this way. So, yeah, she's working on the crossword puzzle. We've talked about crossword puzzles too. So, I'm not going to cause you pain and suffering by asking you questions about crossword puzzles. like I did to Lisa many, many years ago. I think it was in When Harry Met Sally. When she and I discussed it.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, the whole idea of the Motorman exam is pretty interesting, because it's I was trying to find the information out, and from what I understand, that there were certain points in time that if you're within the system, then they have exams, and then they have other exams for any, you know, they're open to anyone. You know, and that's the difference. Maybe the ones that are open to anyone are the ones that are every 4 to 6 years. Maybe if it's an internal thing, that it's a little more often or something like that. Or again, as you said, maybe the idea is that, you know, you put in your 6 months, and then, you know, 6 months from now there's going to be a test, and then you do that. You know, it could be no way of knowing you know, that information. If anyone out there actually knows in the 70s how one became a motorman, please let us know. I actually found online that people are offended that it's called a motorman.
I'm just a person.
It's known as like an MTA
official.
MTA driver or something like that.
Sure.
Something like that. Okay, and that's actually all there is to say about this minute. Do you have anything else you wanted to add about this minute?
When I watched my DVD of it, because of how runtimes vary, or the playing speed varies, I had minute 5 ending just after Hector Elizondo's horrendous tongue work. So I'm glad that that's just outside of my minute. So good. That's for next week's guest to talk about.
Yeah. You actually just reminded me of something. When we see Bud talking, you can see that behind him through the window, you can see Mr. Gray. So Mr. Gray doesn't put his briefcase against the back of the train. He actually puts it against possibly, you know, the cab of where you know, where Bud is. So
yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting that you can see.
Yeah, he puts his bag against the back of the train, and then he leans against the cab. So I think,
okay.
Yeah, the bag is perpendicular to the side of the train, and he is lying, he's leaning parallel to the side of the train. Yeah, great.
Got it. Okay, very cool. Okay, so every Friday we have a segment where we will talk about the Fun City Friday. Fun City is actually a real nickname for the city of New York, which I was surprised to find out myself that Governor
Me too.
Mayor Lindsay used it to refer to New York in the 60s numerous times. So
I spent a long time trying to find a nickname for New York that would work with alliteration for any day of the week, and I couldn't find them. And then he said, like, hey, Fun City Friday. Like, sure, whatever.
Exactly. I also couldn't find anything better.
Great. Top five New York movies, an impossible thing to do. So many. A ridiculous thing to ask someone to do. So I'll throw out honorable mentions. Brooklyn, Dog Day Afternoon, When Harry Met Sally, Spider-Man Homecoming, West Side Story, the original. Soul, The Avengers, Uncut Gems, Ghostbusters, Men in Black, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Muppets Take Manhattan, Escape from New York, Taking a Pelham 1-2-3 is on my honorable mentions, and After Hours. One I had to throw out, it was almost in my top five, was like, I can't reasonably put Sharknado 2, the second one, in my top five New York movies. But I have to talk about it, because it's the Sharknado film that's set entirely in New York. So it's there. I wanted to have a King Kong film in there, but it's only the end of it where it's set in New York. I love Peter Jackson's King Kong. If the end of that was its own film, then that would be in there. But as a whole, it's not. It's more of a Skull Island film than a New York film. How will the start is, well, I guess, but yeah, sure. And then two films that I love, but they could be anywhere. 12 Angry Men and Rear Window. They are set in New York, technically, but they're set inside of one room.
Yes.
So I'm not counting them. So actual list, number five, film you might be familiar with, Die Hard with a Vengeance. One of my first ever favorite films. Love it a bits. Enjoy it. Great. Wonderful. Talked about it already. Don't worry about it. Number four, very recent film.
Have you talked about it?
We have. Endlessly. Number four, very recent film, Robot Dreams is my number four New York film from 2024 in the UK, at least. I think 2023 in some other places. If you haven't seen Robot Dreams, it's about a dog who gets a robot, who buys a robot, is his best friend, and they have adventures together, and then they don't. There's no dialogue. It's beautiful. The soundtrack is great. I've added Earth, Wind & Fire September to my running playlist and just put it on all the time just based on this film. It was my number one film of that year. It's a delight. Not enough people have seen Robot Dreams, and I would like that to change, please.
I've seen it.
Good. Number three is maybe my favorite Coen Brothers film. It varies, but it's up there. It's The Hudsucker Proxy. I really enjoy The Hudsucker Proxy. I feel like it doesn't get enough credit amongst the Coen Brothers oeuvre. It's, I get why some people don't like it, because it's kind of a fun, like, comedic drama, and then it takes a real weird turn at some point. But I'm here for that weird turn, and I love it so much. Jennifer Jason Leigh is incredible in that. Tim Robbins is goofy and fun. Paul Newman as a bad guy is always entertaining. Number two is Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Very much a nostalgia pick. My number one is also a nostalgia pick, but I love the first Home Alone. I love the second Home Alone. I love them both. This is the best film to use the phrase "suck brick, kid." And I assume it will always be that number one spot in there, but I enjoy it a great deal. And number one, if Die Hard with a Vengeance was my first favorite films, this is my actual first ever favorite film, and that, of course, is Daylight. Sylvester Stallone as Kit Latoura, disgraced paramedic turned savior of people trapped in a tunnel that collapses, leaving New York. A film I've watched far more than I should have done. It's great. This is where my love of disaster movies came from, Daylight, I think. And no one else will have this in their top five, so I had to put it in my number one. I just had to.
That's the reason to put it there, because no one else will have it.
No, and I just love it. It's one of the films I've podcasted the most about, I think. Just, if I feel like I'm like a go-to person to talk Daylight about, because I would just happily like, yeah, sure, let's go, let's talk Daylight, let's get into it. Viggo Mortensen as an action junkie who gets crushed trying to save everyone. Yeah, kill him. It's a dumb disaster movie, but I will watch that any day of the week. I love Daylight.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, now we will, for one final time this week, we will spin the wheel to play Name That Remake.
Let's go.
And the wheel goes around and around and around and around and starts to slow and starts to...
The Wheel of Destiny. Where will it take me today?
Interesting.
I'm hoping for like multiple remakes, not just a... Everything I've had is like, there's an original and a remake. I want, like, okay, the original was in 1927, and we got 28, 33, 42. Wizard of Oz.
The original was 1972, and the remake is in 2011.
Okay. 72 to 2011. Okay.
Yes. Okay. And it is about a hitman who befriends someone who wants to learn to become a hitman and begins to try and train him until he figures out that someone's actually...
The mechanic?
Here. Yes.
Is this the mechanic? Right. Yes. I haven't seen any of them. So the first one is Charles Bronson. Second one is Statham.
Yes.
With with the guy who plays Angel in X-Men, The Last Stand. Ben Foster, thank you. Yes, the most over actor you'll see in a film, but he's always good at it, but he always does too much. He's good at doing too much.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. I'm happy with that.
Excellent. All right, so Jay, would you like to, one final time, till the end of the season, tell everyone where they can find you?
Sure, Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, for all of your shark and aquatic action movie film needs. And we've covered every Rennie Harlan film at this point, unless he's made five more since this has come out, which it's Rennie Harlan. He'll do that. He'll release films and not tell anyone. Crafty. Lifeversusfilm.com is my personal site. And at JAYCLUITT is where you can find me on Instagram if you want to see pictures of my dogs. And varied dogs and waterfalls is basically what you'll see on Instagram. But that's where you'll find me.
Okay. All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Jay, thank you very much for joining me once again for an inaugural week of yet another season.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been great.
You keep picking great films, I'll keep talking about them.
Why not? Why not? All right, I will be back on Monday with a new guest, but until then, achoo!
Gesundheit.